And welcome to AFL Tonight, ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. I'm your host, Tim Kepper, along with the rest of the crew, John Stark, Ben Fratinelli. You love that. You know how I was going to do it this week, did you?
Yeah, there was a lot of pregnant pauses there. I was into it.
I was too. What's up, everybody?
What up?
Hey, before the show, weren't we trying to come up with a funny name for the, for the podcast now? It's like I came up with a really bad one on the monk ear of a PB&J that we're going to call us the TB&J podcast.
Yeah, that definitely works for branding. It's strong. It's family friendly. Yeah.
And you can get it in chunky or smooth.
Oh, Tim.
What was it? And Ben, you had said one, but I said, no, we have to use something else. What you said you had a saying. You wanted to call it something else.
Oh, well, I got to have a catchphrase. Everyone's got to have a catchphrase this season.
Yeah.
Mine is the frat likes that. And then everyone sort of laughs. It's going to be great.
That's going into the archive right there.
Yes, please.
There we go. And John, I'll have to come up with mine next time around.
Okay.
Well, you can say I am Iron Man, or that's a spicy meatball, or something like that.
It's a spicy meatball.
Okay. So, yeah, we're less than a minute in. It's already. I don't know. Remember last week we were talking about there's supposed to be a big announcement coming from the league that would be considered as put basically the league and the gameplay in front of many, many, many a fan or many, many eyes. Well, around 5 o'clock-ish today, I was on 5:30 Eastern time, the Arena Football League announced, guys, I would say something pretty significant, and there were multiple parts to this. I'm trying to remember the last time we had something this big that had this many multiple parts that we had to break down. But the Arena Football League announced a new partnership with DraftKings, Sport Radar, Facebook, and is it Vizen?
Yeah, I think Vizen.
Or Vizen. All I know is they have one lowercase letter, and that's the I.
Maybe like Vision? Vision, maybe. Yep.
That's a spicy meatball, John.
There's our there's our one Infinity War.
Yes. Thank you.
Mention. So first thing that we're going to talk about, I think, we'll go to the Facebook portion first. I want to know what you guys are thinking about this. So according to the press release, 2018 will be the year of AFL on Facebook Watch. It's going to be 12 weeks of action. So we were guessing before the show began that it will most likely be the MSN feed. We're guessing because I don't think they would produce something else just like they did. They didn't do that for Twitter last year. And it will be on the Facebook Watch AFL page at facebook.com/AFL Watch. Is that right?
I think so.
And 12 weeks. It will be U.S. They said U.S. and then the rest of the worldwide audience can watch over at the league website over, I guess, over the AFL Live application. So with all of us seeing and being a part of different variables with television over the years for the AFL, what's your thought on the Facebook portion of the announcement, Ben?
I am thrilled about this. I went on a sort of an epic rant last week about streaming availability for the league, and they listened and they took action. And I think that shows the power of this podcast, because Facebook is going to be a fantastic resource for the league. I think that having openly available games every week for anyone to watch in the U.S. is a big deal. I think that AFL Live was, to me, sort of a scary thing, or Monumental being two subscription services that were going to be the only way you could watch games besides the CBS Sports Network deal.
Right.
So I think having the social media friendly Facebook audience, anyone can tune in, anyone can check it out if they're curious. I think that's a big deal, and I'm really excited about the direction the league's going in and opening that up. As I've been clamoring for YouTube or something like that, Facebook is definitely another great and possibly more direct audience. So I'm feeling great about this.
What about you, John?
Yeah, I feel great about it too. You know, you have the fact that you have millions of Facebook users and everyone's going to be seeing this under the watch category on Facebook. And then you're going to get people that start interacting with groups. And I think the AFL is planning on leveraging more of the Facebook products. I think stories they mentioned something about as well. So, you know, they'll be posting and people can like the page and follow along. And that's going to really... it's going to put the league out there to an audience that was unaware of it.
I look at this as a huge positive myself. I mean, God, I've been, and I think Ben, you have too, John, you less so, but it's, you know, through Nifty TV, through ESPN. I'm going way back, pulling that one out of the bag. Twitter last year. But what I want to know, guys, specific. I mean, I love the idea, but what do you think, besides possibly more people, what would be the difference between this Facebook partnership and Twitter?
I mean, personally, it's a big difference to me. I found that the Twitter feeds last season were almost inaccessible if you didn't know exactly what you were looking for. And Facebook is simply a different social media engine in that people are more easily sharing things, tagging others in things. You can tag a friend in the comments and then come check out the feed. That's just not really something that Twitter has as – or it's not a way people use Twitter necessarily. So I think Facebook's interconnectivity as their the main driver of their content makes it a much more attractive place than Twitter, which while they're coming around to being a resource for watching long-form content – is not necessarily even close to the way Facebook has handled that and how they've expanded their original series. And Facebook as a video resource is just enormous. So I think it's a much better place for the league to be.
I don't think I could have said that better myself.
Well, no. Then just don't.
I'm not. That's it.
How would you consider it with most OTTs, though, guys? I mean, obviously, John, you were the first really to have experience with, you know, with Monumental Sports Network, et cetera, and stuff like that. But where is this on the scope of things? I mean, you obviously want the league to try to be in as many places as possible. How does this fit in their OTT strategy?
I think it's an interesting defiance of that strategy, actually. I was sort of worried about that direction that they were going in, and I don't really understand now where AFL Live fits into this, because if essentially every game that would have been on AFL Live is now on Facebook, unless they're providing bonus content or something that you're not going to get on Facebook, I'm not exactly sure why you would sign up for AFL Live at this point. But being that there's four teams, I think it is important for these limited amount of games to be available to the widest audience. So I think it was a really smart move to not necessarily abandon AFL Live entirely, but just sideline it sort of for this season, because it's just you're not really offering much of a value add on that service right now. But once the league starts expanding, I see that as becoming a more important aspect of what the AFL does with media. But I think Facebook is just a better direction in the temporary.
And I think that the Monumental Sports Network, just like you were saying, Ben, too, with AFL Live, this sort of being put on the side burner, so to speak, with these games being on Facebook now also. And I think that the Monumental Sports Network is still going to be valuable in the original content they produce for both the Valor and the Brigade. But I think that the Facebook watch and live aspect for game viewing is going to be a lot more reliable this season, since it's been built and running for several years now through Facebook.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a consistent platform. And I agree that Monumental is still a service that if you're a DC sports fan, you're going to have if you're interested in the original content that they're producing. So I see Monumental as sort of a supplemental service for the local fan now. I think it's really, if you're a Valor or Brigade fan, you'll sign up for that. You don't necessarily now have to sign up for that if you're a Philadelphia or Albany fan. So I think it alters the purpose of the service right now for the league in an interesting way, but I think it's a promising one.
It's interesting, too, that you're right. They don't seem to be mentioning AFL Live here at all. What they're saying is that if you don't live in the U.S. and you don't have access to Facebook Watch, it will be available globally via the quote-unquote AFL show page, whatever that means.
What is that?
I don't know. I will find out in 2 days' time, obviously, since we're taping on Wednesday. We'll find out. I don't know what that means. I would imagine it has to be. It has to be some sort of, you know, combination of using the league's new website and some sort of streaming option. That's the only thing. I mean, it would have to be. Because if you're going to offer it locally, globally, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll have to see. It's everything just, as I said, we found out like everybody else did 2 days prior to the season opening. So, but
that's
overall,
the way I like my announcements. Yeah.
But overall, I think, yes, it's a plus. Now, the interesting other portion of this, the secondary announcement would be for DraftKings. And DraftKings will be offering fantasy football, and they will be offering streaming, which sort of we can sort of tie into how this may work next year. But that's the caveat, is that that is only going to start, the streaming and the fantasy are only going to be starting next year for 2019. 2018, they're just going to be a partner. I mean, do you keep the games on Facebook Watch also next year? Or will the DraftKings app kind of be an add-on to it where you will have more than one way that you – because I've never used the DraftKings streaming app, so I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I think that unless there's an exclusive deal that's been signed, or there will be in 2019, that hopefully I think this would be a cross-platform opportunity for the AFL where they don't have to reduce their streaming on multiple websites and can have DraftKings as sort of an added bonus. And the thing I was thinking about earlier today was that if there is no CBS next year, that would mean that DraftKings and Facebook could carry all of the games instead of just – there would be no broadcast restrictions. And like I always say, the frat likes that. And everybody laughs and we're having a good time.
No, but that's a very good point. And I was just thinking that right before you said it. So took the words right out of my mouth.
So
Ben,
sort of like having
you can go first next time. I'm sorry.
So sort of like having what the NFL does with having the Thursday night broadcasts on either it's going to be Fox next year. Fox and the NFL Network and Amazon and Yahoo, because you see what I'm getting at here. They've added more and more streaming partners to their brand to get it everywhere, because it's, you know, and Twitter, I think Twitter also. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL woke up to it, and I was honestly pleasantly surprised, because they're typically a very, they were a closed system. You either had Sunday Ticket or you were tuning into the broadcast, but they've proved that simulcasts work and offer just another way to watch. And I think that the AFL definitely in its current form needed to acknowledge that too, and needed to try that too. And so I think it's a great, great thing that they're possibly going to be streaming, you know, 3 to 4 places every week with AFL Live, Monumental, DraftKings, and Facebook. So the more the merrier.
I think for me, it also goes back to, you're talking about the NFL. I don't know what broke the mold, but remember, guys, at one point when the league was on the NFL Network back in, you know, 2010 going forward for that contract, that one game that they could not broadcast on TV because it was on tape delay, I think, because of something.
Yeah.
And it was a big game. It was Aaron Garcia I think he was about to reach 1,000 career touchdowns, and they streamed it on the NFL Network website, which was rare at the time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, obviously, with DraftKings being involved, it makes you wonder, and I think that's where these other companies come in, Sport Radar and the others, Vision, we'll call it Vision, for the broadcast on the other platforms. Because they'll be able to build things into the actual broadcast, the way that they're making it sound. They're going to be able to offer stats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it's going to lead to fantasy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Radaball throws a touchdown, it'll automatically show +6, you know.
And that'll tie in with DraftKings.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like DraftKings may be an entirely different kind of viewing experience. I don't know that you'll see, I mean, maybe you will see that on like the Facebook stream, or you may, if it's so well integrated into the DraftKings app, that may be just the way they present the games in a sort of a different way that's more fantasy minded. So if that's what you care about, then you could watch it with DraftKings. And if you're not really interested, you could go to Facebook or whatever.
Looking at what's it saying here about Vision. Fans will be able to tune in to Vision-produced pregame shows and segments each week that preview better betting odds and trends, as well as other co-produced live content focused on in-game betting angles. That's we've never seen that. I mean, I understand that's the big thing now with esports, et cetera, but can you, it's like, and this, I may be showing my age by saying this, it's like playing QB1 in the bar. Please tell me you get that reference.
Tim, that's resonating with me on levels I can't even begin to describe.
You know what I'm getting at. Seriously?
I hear you. Sort of vaguely.
It's basically you had this controller in your hand, you watch the game on TV, at the same time you choose the play that you think that was going to happen next, and if you're right, you get an X amount of points. So it's almost same thing. It was live. It wasn't betting, but you were still guessing on a certain play that was going to be run.
Wow. That's wholesome fun.
I'm dating myself. So
no, you're good.
But in game, but that's another huge thing too. I don't think I've ever thought of having an arena game with in game betting. You'll have to really know the game, or you would think you'd have to really know the game in order to be very successful.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because this is the kind of thing that Scott Butera was promising from the beginning, and the moment he's out, we finally get it. And I don't know. I mean, everyone says to me that people bet on anything. And if this is a way to get people interested in the AFL, I'm super into it.
I mean, John, I mean, I know you guys don't do that much betting. It's not as much as my former colleague Adam Markowitz did. But betting-wise, I mean, as guys who do not bet, John, is this something right. that interests you? Would you – I mean, obviously you'll be at the games. But, I mean, the games that you're not at. Would it be something that you say, I got to get on my phone and so I can bet that, you know, Nick Davila is going to throw for 300 yards and 8 touchdowns?
I think myself personally, I'm more excited about the DraftKings daily fantasy options that are going to be popping up than in-game betting. How about you, Ben?
No, I feel the same way. I'm not really interested in the betting angle, but the fantasy angle is interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of depends on how many teams the league has. Yeah. I think fantasy loses a lot of value if there's only 4 teams. So if there are more teams, I definitely see that being of interest to the AFL fan. I don't think non-fans are going to get involved in the fantasy aspect, but the betting aspect opens that up. So I think it has a dual purpose for the league, where half of it's appealing to hardcore fans, half of it's appealing to the sports betting crowd. So I really like that about it. And I don't know if I would do it personally until the league had more teams, but the more feature rich this league is, the better.
Well, I think that's where I think that's why they're going to hold off for a year, though. I think what you're saying is correct. It's sort of a test trial in 2018, get more teams in. I mean, think this will be in 2019. This will be the AFL's first. It won't be their first go at it for fantasy sports at all. I'm trying to remember the year, but I think it's during the NBC years. Remember, but during that time of the NBC days, they had their fantasy games through Sandbox.
Yes. Oh my God, I remember that. That was amazing.
This makes me wonder. You know, it's sort of similar to what our quick pick is, if I remember correctly.
I think what this is also doing is making the AFL a more attractive product to new markets. If you can say, we've got this DraftKings partnership, we've got these streaming deals, that immediately makes the product more interesting, in my opinion, to potential investors, because it's offering more ways for your fans to interact with the team, interact with the game, and reach different audiences. And I think the AFL before this, where it just didn't have much in the way of content sharing and interactive fan experiences, I don't know that the product was as enticing as it is now. And I think the DraftKings deal is just a promising thing, and I think it may interest new markets and possibly ones that are already in the works that we don't know about.
So this makes me wonder, I remember last week at one of the Albany pressers, they mentioned that we were going to be seeing some in-game broadcast things that we've never seen before. So I wonder if it's going to be something from Vision or Sports mm-hmm. Radar or something like that.
Isn't there a company sort of like what does for Major League Baseball where they had the I can't remember the company that does it. I don't know if it's the same, if Sport Radar is the same company that does the live stats, you know, where the pitcher, they show what the pitcher speed was to the batter. The batter hits the ball out of the park for a homer, and it shows what the speed of the bat was, the speed of the ball was coming off the bat.
Yeah, StatCast.
Okay, that's StatCast. So I've heard of Sport Radar. I just don't know who they do it for. I know they do these some type of pop-up stats, so to speak, in-game stats like that. I just don't know who they do it for.
Well, Sport Radar says they're Swiss-based, one of the world's yep. leading data providers for sports federations and leagues, media networks, and sports books.
That's it. Have you noticed, guys, that all these guys are tied to betting?
yeah.
You know, the only portion that isn't, as far as we know, is Facebook, unless you happen to own stock. So that's
so Sport Radar does do NASCAR, NHL, and the NFL. So that's
okay.
That's a pretty significant service then.
I don't remember. Do they bring up weird stats like that during the Thursday night broadcast or Monday night football?
I don't think so. I don't remember any of that.
Trying to remember. And NHL. I mean, I don't watch the NBC broadcasts really. I watch the Canadian broadcasts. I don't think they use the exact same thing, but it's. It's interesting to say the least. We had to wait another week. If this was the announcement, we had to wait another week. To me, it's no big deal. I don't mind waiting. I didn't mind waiting at all because we will get to see games either on CBS Sports Network or this other one. Yes, it's not the best of both worlds in having all games streamed because we know mm-hmm. that I don't think CBS Sports Network streams unless they do it through their app and you have to sign in to do it.
Right.
But one question, by the way, guys, which was posed to me by a fan. Was will the games that are broadcast on AFL Watch, will they be archived? I've reached out to a couple people in the league, and we don't have an answer as of broadcast time. So keep an eye out on our social media accounts for if we do get an updated answer, and we'll make sure you guys get it. So Ben, you spent some time in Albany this week. And it just wasn't for your next edition of the 50-Yard War. You were also there to do a little bit more, weren't you?
Yeah, I got to Albany. I really wanted to spend some time with Coach Keefe and meet the staff formally. And so I got to hang around the field and talk to a bunch of the guys. I was introduced to a bunch of the executives and. I had gone to interview Coach Keefe for the new installment of the 50-Yard Dash series. This episode is going to be about the return of arena football to the city of Albany. And I really wanted his perspective on that. But I also, I got a vibe from everything that was going on in this operation that was extremely positive. I mean, I left the stadium feeling so positive about the organization. And a lot of that started with Coach Keefe because he cares so much about not only the game, but the community. And I really got just such a great impression from him about how involved the team has been in the city of Albany and how much they care about servicing the community and not just being a team that plays there, but also, in a sense, trying to recapture how much the city cared about the Albany Firebirds. And they know how important that is to try to re-ingratiate themselves with those people who were scorned when they left and then weren't as interested in the AF2 when the Conquest came in and then rebranded as the Firebirds. So they're extremely aware of that. And I think they're making a huge effort to reach out to locals and bring people back in and tell people, hey, the good product is back. And these guys are going to be active in your community, in your schools, in your churches. And all of that starts, I feel, with Coach Keefe's leadership. And it was really really nice to see from him. And he was very excited to be working with me. And he introduced me to everyone. And we were hanging around with Bo Bell for a little while. And it was crazy to see him in an office.
and in different colors.
Yes, and in different colors. And he's still getting used to that. You can tell he kind of wants to be back out there. But I sat down with both of them. I did some interviews, and I've got a interview segment here.
Nice.
Some of the rest of this content is going to be in the documentary. But I've got an Arena Fan exclusive interview with Coach Keefe. And we're going to play that right now.
Yeah, play it right now. And when we get back, we'll talk about more about the upcoming week.
This is Ben Fraternelli with AFL Tonight, and I'm pleased to be joined by Rob Keefe, who as a player and coach has won 2 Arena Cups, 2 Arena Bowls, and now finds himself coaching the expansion Albany Empire in the city's triumphant return to the league. Coach, what has it been like taking the helm of an expansion franchise, especially one with so much history to the city?
Coaching an expansion franchise is a great opportunity, and it's something that I take very seriously, and it's something I don't take very lightly. But to be a part of this community and to bring a winner, to bring great tradition, to bring something that is very unique and different to a city who is craving professional sports, there's a lot of responsibility in that, and I'm very proud to be the head coach of the Albany Empire.
And bringing a team back to this city, I know you and the guys have already been very active in the community. So what is the pulse you're getting from the people of Albany, the excitement of this return from the organization to the fans?
We are feeling that excitement. I think when you see our logo and you see our team name and you see our hashtag, when you say hashtag building an empire, that means something. And there's a responsibility within that. And so it's not just something that we just say. It's something that we do. And that's what I appreciate most about this organization. From top down, the people that are involved, the people that hired me, the people I was very fortunate to hire, and the players that we've brought into this community, everybody is bought in. I think when you have a community like this that is craving not only professional sport, but professionals that are in the community, I can feel that from them. I hear that from them. They ask about our guys, who they are, what kind of character our guys have. This is going to be something that's going to be very, very special. And I think, it's going to be symbolic of what we all want in a sports team. And we're part of the team. We're part of them.
And you've always been a coach of very strong values, both to the community and within your teams. And I'm curious where that comes from in your life and how it's ultimately translated to such a successful run in your coaching career.
Yeah, I think what has made me so successful is really work ethic. It was something that was instilled in me at a very, very young age. My parents are definitely my role models, people that had to work for everything that they got in life. Everything they have now currently in life has really been from a great mindset and then really a great grind set. They know how to work. They know how to tough things out. They know when adversity comes. They know how to rise above it and really, really take advantage of opportunities when they're presented in front of them and do everything they can. And they instilled that in me. And, my mother, still to this day, will talk about how she started as a teacher's aide, working with special education students, and then graduated to be a professor at George Washington University. And when you talk about a woman in the education field in the early 70s, that's not a lot of money, especially in special education. So to see her work every single day and then eventually run a center in Alexandria, Virginia, for emotionally disabled and learning disabled youth. Really, there's a lot of pride that came from that, and I saw her work her butt off every single day, and very fortunate to be a substitute teacher with her in her school, and I got to learn from the students as much as they were learning from me. And then my father recently retired as in United States Secret Service, but he'll talk about the days that he had to before he was an accountant with the Secret Service, he was wearing 3 suits every 5 days and rotating the suits to make it a lot of almost pursuit of happiness type stuff, eating hot dogs at the vendors, downtown Washington, D.C., just to make it. And so to see them really be self-made people, really, really to know their history has really, really taken that to a whole nother level for me that, nobody's going to give it to you. You have to work at it every single day. And hopefully the players that I've been fortunate enough to coach and the players that I will coach in the future see that in me, that it's all about work ethic. It's all about doing everything you can take or everything you can do to be as successful as you possibly can. But more importantly, it's about being a great leader and helping people be successful in their lives. And that's as I get older as a coach, for me, it's about helping others reach their potential. And that's ultimately what's successful in my life.
Well, I for one, Ben, I cannot wait to see your next installment. I loved everything that you did last year. It gives people, not just fans, but more of an insight to the game itself. It's just more than jocks and coaches on a field. It actually shows that these guys, for a lot of these coaches, it actually does matter what the players may think of them, what they think of the city, et cetera. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what you're coming up with next.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. I think it is a big deal how much this return means to the people of Albany. And I think getting to know the men behind that are more than just a uniform, that's a big deal. And I can't wait to see how the fans ingratiate themselves with the team.
Just so we can tease it, if possible, not really get, you know, just to get a little bit into your head, is there anything that different this year, being that I guess we could say this is season two?
Yes.
Of your series, anything different that you're going to you may try on us? I don't want you to give away too much, obviously, because it's your vision. But anything different?
Yeah, no, definitely. This year is going to be much different. 3 years ago, it was really the documentary and then the first few game films. Last year, it was game films again, which were sort of covering the games broadly, and they weren't necessarily getting into the storylines as much.
Right.
I started expanding that as the season went on and had voiceovers and some interviews. And this year, I'm really retooling, and every episode is going to be a narrative documentary piece, essentially. So we're going to be diving into individual players' stories. I thought Albany was a good place to start because it's the team returning. Uh-huh, so there's obviously a lot there. And we're going to meet some of these guys who have been around the AFL for a long time and really get to know them as people. And then I think that's a natural evolution for what I've been doing. And I'm really excited about it.
Did you try to reach out to anybody else besides, because with it being the return to Albany,
yes,
after summarily 18, well, yeah, I would say, because, you know, people will ask me, guys, is that it's been 18 years since I've been back to Albany. Yes, I saw an AF2 game, but it wasn't the same. You know, Conquest / Albany wasn't the same. So this will be 18 years that I've come back to where everything from my, you know, Arena League history started. So, I mean, who else were you thinking of? Are you looking at to reaching out to try to get at least a small, even a
so.
Tidbit.
One of our interviews is with a name I guess not many people would know, but Mark McGuire. He, not the baseball player, the journalist Mark McGuire, who covered the original Firebirds. He covered their departure. He covered the AF2 return and is now at a different newspaper in Albany. But he really had a wide perspective because there's very few people still around that are, you know, this is 28 years of history right now.
Yeah.
From the inaugural season. So he really was able to cover the wide scope of it. We got Keith, like I said, Bo Bell, hopefully Eddie Brown. That would be big. Oh. We're trying to get an in-person interview with him this weekend, but potentially I also have an interview with him that he did on their local radio station that I've been given. So no matter what, we're going to hear from Eddie. He's so passionate about this.
He
and I really want to get another interview with him because this really means a lot to him. Albany built him as a man, he says, and the return and being on the field for that and his son being there, Antonio, is really just a major moment for the city, for him personally. So we already have an interview with him, but we may be shooting another one. So I'm really excited about that, and I hope it happens.
That's so cool. That really is neat. It's I'm really looking forward. As I said, it's like coming home again. You know, it'll be really cool this week to sit up in the stands again and just to reminisce and to remember what the Firebirds were and remember the old black jerseys and the old orange and orange jerseys after that and the white helmets with the wings and the Firebird head on it. And by the way, speaking of, and you, I think you wanted to mention a little bit about this, John, Albany, besides announcing that what their field looked like, the field sponsor, et cetera, for the field, Albany also did another thing this week, didn't they?
What's that?
They've got the jerseys, John.
The jerseys, dude.
I know.
It was a teaser.
It was a teaser.
That's called a build-up, Tim.
Yes.
The announcement they had the other morning, and we got to see all of the home and alternate jersey uniforms, and what they're gonna look like, what they'll be wearing this season.
It's just so weird, and I know everybody's talked about this because all three of us talked about this at length. That the Albany Firebirds, I'm already starting to do it. The Empire, when they announced their logo originally, they had a darker They had a reddish orange originally because, as we found out, which I think, John, you mentioned to me, is that their colors are based off of the Spokane Shock. No, I'm just kidding. They're actually based off, which happened to be the same colors as the Spokane Shock. But it's off their flag, off the city of Albany flag. So right. They had to, by the looks of things, they had to modify, modify their reddish orange back to regular orange. And we got what we got. So I kind of like having the orange as a sort of a nod and a wink to the old Firebirds, the second generation Firebird jerseys that they had. But then getting blue, it's so weird seeing
it is weird, blue. Yeah. Now, I mean, it's interesting because I like when cities are able to do color cohesion. Mm-hmm. You know, the New York State flag is orange and blue. The New York Knicks are orange and blue. The Mets are orange and blue.
True.
So
yep.
It makes sense, and I think it fits. And obviously, when you looked at, like, Cleveland, they did a great organizational color coordination. And I think it works really well.
Yeah, it's Chicago with the stars. They always try to bring them out somewhere on their logos, stuff like that.
Right.
And jerseys. I mean, John, when you first saw them and saw the announcement, I mean, what was your first reaction? I mean, it's did they impress you? Did they not? I mean, could they tweak something? I mean,
they did impress me, although I think I mentioned this to you and Ben as well, but I kind of I'm reminded a little bit of the Denver Broncos of the of the NFL. Very close color scheme to me. And then we talked about how the uniforms are coming out in different colors on camera based on the different lenses
being used. Right. You're so right.
So, I mean, they're good. I like the uniforms, but, you know, there's just a little confusion going around at the moment.
I hate to tell you, I saw your comment, and then I know I joked about it before, but I thought Spokane Shock almost immediately. I really did. It's just so close. But, I mean, it's a new beginning. I completely get that. They went this route and calling them the Empire. They could have easily given the biggest wink and nod to the city's history in arena football by calling them the Fire. You know, after every first down, it could have been, you know, the announcer could have gone, first down, Albany Fire, and then everybody would have yelled Birds.
That would have killed.
You know what I mean? So it's I honestly think I love what they did, but I actually think they missed something. I really do. I felt that they could easily have gone, and I understand it's a first-year club. Not very many teams in AFL history have done something like this, but done sort of a unless they have those already planned, which if anybody in the Albany organization is listening to me, please, please do, is do a throwback or an update. Sort of like, you know, how the Blue Jays did an update to their logo and looks, you know, from what their original logo was. You know, like everything old is new again, even if it's just slightly updated, you know?
Yeah, it would be kind of weird because it's not the same team name. that would be the thing.
No.
And the fact that they have now there's no black in their color scheme. So, but it would have been an interesting ode if they had like a block letter old Firebirds look.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the original look, as far as I'm concerned, the Spike the Bird? No.
Yep.
Not Spike the Bird. If I could bring it, I would, guys, but I don't think I'm going to – I wouldn't know what to do with it. I could easily bring – and I don't think I've ever told you guys this – my throwback original replica old G Firebird's helmet that I bought.
From which era do you have?
The OG one.
You have
one.
Like the 90s,
the
90s
OG.
One?
No, the OG. Wow. Original. White wings. That one.
You're gonna have to send me a photo of this
one.
I will.
It's well, again, it's at the other apartment, so I'll have to. I got a couple things I got to send it to people. Now I got to send something to you, Ben, and I got to send something to you, John. So
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really am looking forward to this. This should be fun. It really should be.
This is gonna be a great opening weekend.
Yeah, I think so. And wouldn't it be fitting if Albany knocked them off? Albany knocked off the defending two-time champs.
It would work well for my film.
Yeah, I'll be there too. So
yeah.
So
yeah, John's gonna be on the squad this week with the 50-yard dash shooting. So I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
Woo woo.
Nice. since we're talking about it, we might as well, go ahead. Yes, guys, we never thought we were going to get to this point, but week one of the 2018 schedule is coming up in just a couple of days. Kickoff is just around the corner. And any other weird football analogies that you can give. First game is going to be on Friday. It is a reversal of last year's opener. It is Washington at Baltimore. And then on Saturday, that game's going to be on MSN and Facebook Watch and the AFL platform, whatever they're going to call it. And then there's going to be the game on Saturday, which is Philly traveling to Albany to start the new history of arena football in the state capital. What are you guys looking at specifically with the the Baltimore-Washington game? Which, by the way, for any of you stat geeks, and we were talking about it before, and you betting geeks, at the current moment, according to Five Dimes, Baltimore is favored by 4 points, and the over-under is 95.5. I know to you guys, I know that doesn't mean that much, but is it fair to give to say Baltimore's favored? Or do you think, I mean, we were talking about the different variables last week where we didn't think who we thought was going to be the best teams and who wasn't going to be the best teams. We're talking about our Arena Bowl picks coming up. It's a brand new league. It really is with all the free agency that happened. Is Baltimore better off with their current starting quarterback this year? And how is Washington going to be with having a perennial, it's going to be a Hall of Famer, a future AFL Hall of Famer, but who's coming off a year sabbatical, so to speak. John, we'll go with you first.
Sure. I'm really excited to see the matchups of the defensive backs covering the Baltimore wide receivers, Washington's DBs. We've got Randy Hippard coming into this game, the AFL MVP of last year. And like you were saying with Shane Carden, too, he was the rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm more excited to see Hippard in there. It's going to be a really good matchup. And I think that I'm going to favor Washington by just a bit on this. I think that Vela's got something to prove coming back after a year off.
Yeah, he definitely has something to prove. I don't know if that is always a good sign in the first week of the season. I think besides Philly this season, we've got a bunch of essentially new teams and we're starting over, like you said, Tim. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of starting over, that does give Hippard a bit of an advantage because he's well oiled. Their team is bolstered significantly by a bunch of the Tampa Bay Storms players and some Gladiators. And I like both teams, obviously. I think all four teams are essentially all-star teams this year. But for this first game, I just think given the year off factor in Washington, I got to go Baltimore here. And I agree with them being slightly favored.
I know you were saying about Davila, John, but I can hopefully counter what you just said with two words: Urich Meyer. Sort of similar in the same situation.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, sort of the same situation as Washington last year. Guy who hadn't played. I think Meyer hadn't played in more than a year. Hadn't played more than a year. We can say as much as we want. These teams are stacked. I mean, this.
They all are.
All four teams are stacked. What is the difference do you find? I know you've been to practice for a training camp. What is the differences that you've seen when you saw Urich Meyer practice compared to Nick Davila? Like that you said that would give them the edge, a slight edge.
Consistency. Yeah, a little bit. I'm thinking about what I saw at camp. He seems to be very consistent with his throwing.
Okay.
In terms of his his motion and how he plants his feet. And I also think, him being a southpaw, lefties, a little bit of a different look.
Yeah, it's interesting when you've these two situations are interesting to compare. And it's always so exciting when something like this happens. We've seen it with like Aaron Garcia. And anytime there's a big return, and it's happening in Albany, which we'll get to in a second. But it's, sometimes the wheels sort of immediately fall off. And I think they get put back on. In Washington's case, that didn't really happen last year, but it takes some time. And I think it's going to take everyone besides Philly a little bit of time this year to readjust to the way things are. But I think that Washington's in a really good position this overall season. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. There's really no way to know.
No, it's true. I don't think Washington, I do not think will get off to a one and whatever start.
No, no.
As I said last week, I'm still in my head that we are going to have so much parity in this league this year.
Yeah.
That I really do not see a team winning more than 8 games. I really don't. But we'll talk about more.
Really?
Yeah. I think all these teams are that strong. I think the only thing that could really derail somebody would be, as we mentioned last week, the situation, you know, a head coaching situation, or some in which we have seen also too, is huge injuries. Because remember, these games, you know, these first couple of weeks are summarily the preseason, technically. You know, the preseason games, because you get the rust worked out, live action. You know, none of these teams had scrimmages this year against others. So for me, though, I'm leaning your way too, Ben. I'm thinking Baltimore too. I really am thinking Baltimore this year. I think they'll flip the switch from what happened last year.
Yeah.
For the first game of the year. Now, the game on Saturday, CBS Sports Network said, it hasn't come out yet, who is I know, said's going to be there, Arie's going to be there on the sidelines. This is big for the city of Albany. And as I mentioned at the beginning, wouldn't it be a fitting ending for them to be able to win their first game in team history? Now, on this end, Ben, what do you see between the two teams, and what would it take for Albany to knock off the two-time defending champ?
For me, this matchup is a little bit like choosing between mom and dad, because I spent so much time with the Soul over the last couple of years, and they're like a family to me. So it's weird to pick against them. But I think what will put Albany over the top, if they're able to pull this out, is Tommy Grady back in form? Because he was obviously a formidable threat only 2 years ago. And so we don't know. He's coming off of an injury. But if he's back in his form, I think that's really the difference. I mean, like we were saying, both of these teams are completely stacked. I think it's interesting how close Philly's team is to last year. And it shows you how good the Soul were last year and how good they've been at retaining players that they haven't needed to overhaul their roster basically at all. And it's a sign of confidence in their guys. And I think it says a lot about that team and keeping the guys together. I'm sort of interested to see whether all these other teams have become all-star teams and if Philly is still on par with everyone. And I'm sure they are. So I think it's the Grady factor, and I would like to see Albany just storyline wise win this game, but it's going to be tight.
John, anything that would stick up? By the way, Five Dimes, and I don't know if this surprises you at all, guys, because we'll follow this throughout the year when it comes to the games. Philly is favored by 11.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me with what Ben was just saying and how Philly's held their roster together, and it's very similar to last year. Actually, looking at all four rosters in front of me right now, I see Philly actually has the smallest in terms of overall just names on this list. So, you know, it looks like they've done a great job of trying to be as cohesive as possible. My take on this game is probably going to be, what can Grady do? Like Ben was saying, after, you know, coming back, and he's also got something to prove, much like Nick Davila's got as well. Should be an interesting game.
Yeah, it should be. Here's a funny tidbit. I'm looking at this, and it's hard to pick against Philly in this game.
Yeah.
You know, yes, but as you mentioned, Ben, the Grady factor, and I think one of the huge pieces that, you know, that the team announced recently was the signing, and a very surprise signing, of Colin Taylor.
Yes.
So
that's a big deal.
It gives him a little bit more depth. I mean, it's just not going to be the Greg Carr show. You know, it's not just not going to be, you know, Jordan Williams show. I know he's a rookie, but I mean, it gives him a little bit more of a threat.
Yeah, yeah, I think Albany needed to bolster that receiving core, and that was probably where they were slightest, if
100%.
Anywhere. Yeah, so that's a huge addition to me.
Yeah, because if you look at their roster, I mean, their wide receivers, God, just really, I mean, it's, who is it? Greg Carr only has 4 years, and Colin Taylor he's basically the vet.
He is a veteran.
Yeah, next to Tommy Grady with seven seasons under his belt. So interesting. Now, one thing I can tell you, which I don't think will ever happen. Albany's first game back in 1990, guys, set an all-time Arena Football League record that has not been broken to this day.
Hit us.
Lowest combined score between two teams.
Oh, my. What was the score?
Yeah, what was that score?
They beat the Washington Commandos 16-12.
Oh, my God.
Good old Commandos.
That is so crazy. I mean, Coach Keefe has been talking about defense, and anything less than a 40-point defensive performance would be a disappointment. So if we could get a 12-point performance out of that defense, I think he'd be happy.
Yeah, but come on. This Philadelphia Soul team is not the L.A. Kiss. You know, it's not – they're not as bad as the Valor were in the third quarter last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be. I mean, I said it's hard to pick. I really want to see. I love to see Albany win. It would be a perfect storybook ending for this game. It really would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just, you know what? Just a good game. That's all I want. That's all I want. I don't want a blowout. I want a close game. I really want a close game. Overtime would be phenomenal. Overtime, first game. So talk about week one, which we'll revisit each week. We have our Arena Bowl picks that we're going to talk about here. But just as a quick reminder to everybody, we are on social media. We have almost every social media outlet that you can think of, that you know of, that we should be on. We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. We may do a little bit of Periscope before the game this week because Arena Fan will be in Albany. So stay tuned to our social media accounts. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email me at tim.capper@arenafan.com. And if you have any questions for the guys also, please email me and I will pass it along to them. And speaking of, I just by talking about that, guys, kind of reminded me, I think we had a question, which we did.
Ooh.
Yes.
We got fans.
Comes from Arena Fan Jersey. That's his nick on Arena Fan message boards. I was curious if you could ask the co-hosts, which team do they think has the potential for the wheels to fall off and really underachieve? I feel the injury. I feel the injuries last season and inconsistent play made Cleveland go from early favorite to challenge the Soul to just an average team. I completely agree with that. Of the four teams, which has the chance for all to go wrong and end up struggling, and why? And I think I'm just going to go back. I'll start first. I'll just go back and talk about what I said last week. Coaching situation in D.C. Injuries aside, coaching situation in D.C. I think is the biggest hurdle, I think, for D.C. and could possibly cause them to falter again this year. Ben.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to say. If you look at how these three teams are built in terms of coaching and how precarious those situations are, you got to say D.C. is the most fragile, because Baltimore, look at them. Last year, it wasn't looking good initially, and we really saw a resurgence there, and I do think a lot of that was coaching. And I think if we look at Albany, you know, Coach Keefe is as solid as they come, and then obviously we've got the legend Clint Dozell in Philly. So if it, in terms of in the AFL, for the wheels to fall off, a lot of that does come down to coaching, because there are ways throughout a season to completely change your roster, unlike in the NFL. So if we're talking the most delicate situation, I think it's Washington. If they have an injury here or there, it could happen.
John?
I'm going to go with Albany in this case, just because they're a new organization and you've got a new group of guys and some of them haven't played together before. So, you know, there could be a lack of chemistry there that could really cause things to go downhill. But we'll see.
That's fair. That's fair.
No, that's good.
That's fair. So thanks for your question. We'll be more than happy to take questions from you guys for the next show. And I need to remember to remind myself to send out an email. That we're going to be uh, that we're going to be taping the show, and so we can get some more questions from you guys at a more real-time basis. So the time is upon us, guys. We have to mention who we think will be meeting for Arena Bowl 31 in X City. At the end of July. Who do we think is going to be in the Arena Bowl? And if we have a pick, who are we picking to win it all? John.
Baltimore at Philadelphia. Soul win.
Ah, that's what I was about to say as well. I just think it's those are the two powerhouses, the way I see it, and the teams that are the most solid in terms of if anything goes wrong, right, they're the ones that have the tools to maintain the steady ship. And I agree. I think that's the safe bet at this point.
It's funny. I actually went that route also, except I went the other, I went the other way. Philly, okay, at Baltimore.
Ooh.
In the Arena Bowl. Now, who wins? it would be nice to see a three-peat. I at the moment, I'm leaning that way. I'm leaning that way. But I'm just so intrigued. We could be, as I said, if the league is going to go like I think it's going to go and have parity across the board, those home-and-home playoff, total game playoffs are going to be outstanding.
I got a question for you, Tim.
Yeah.
So you said it would be nice to see a three-peat, and I'm genuinely curious if both of you think that actually would be a nice thing to see, because there's a sense that a team sweeping every year is not necessarily a good thing, in the sense that people will say, oh, the league has four teams, like, is it legit? Is there still, like, are there still stakes? And as much as I love Philly and I love those guys, does that sort of reduce the stakes if they've just won 3 years in a row? Does it make the league more legitimate if that doesn't happen? What do you guys think?
I think you're always going to get your naysayers, and I get that. I mean, you can have parity, and you can still have the same team win. I think it matters of, you know, a team this year sure can dominate. Sure, a team could go 12-0 this year. I mean, anything's possible, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, yes, you go in and you talk about the Arizona factor, how many times they made it to the Arena Bowl, how many times they won it in a row. You know, you can go back to the Detroit Drive, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It is good to have and I can use the CFL as a reference. Just look, Calgary goes in these last 2 years into the Grey Cup as the pure favorite. And look what happens. They lost two in a row in the Grey Cup. So it's nice to see an upset. I do agree. It is nice to see an upset. But I said, just based on from what I'm seeing now, though, Ben,
yeah,
is I see Philly. As I said, team can get hot. I said, I really think that, you know, that the playoff, that two-game total point playoffs is going to be, I'm sure, going to mark it down, tape it. I'll revisit it at the end of the year. But I still think that the two-game playoff is going to be one for the record book.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of what could happen. You could have these two game playoffs where you ended up one series, both teams are tied at one, they're tied at the end of game two, they go into overtime, and then technically, dude, you could go into another overtime because if they're tied at the end of that overtime, in
right,
the perfect scenario.
It's going to be really interesting to watch it all develop.
I mean, yeah, we can revisit what, you know, with New England too. I mean, John, what do you— is it a bad thing to have a team three-peat, whether it's a four-team league or not?
Right. No, I don't think so. I think it shows the commitment that the team has to winning and being a professional organization.
Right. So it's going to be cool. Don't forget, by the way, that we have opened up our Arena Fantasy this year. We are having our Pick'em as normal and our Quick Pick. If you're already a member of the message boards, or if you're already a member of Arena Fan, you can play these. All these games are for free, as they have been since our inception. And we're not planning anything really big, but I'm sure we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. But guys, I know this is our first regular season podcast. I am honored to be with you guys and to be one of your co-hosts as Arena Fan will be celebrating and is going to be celebrating our 20th season. our 20th anniversary of covering
nice.
Arena football. So I am.
It's an honor to be a part of it this season. You know, Arena Fan has been a trusted resource for virtually my entire life. So to be a small part of the organization this year is certainly an honor.
Hey, now being on the internet, dude, you can go back and you can say, hey, listen to my first show.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I'm going to sit the kids down and say, let me tell you something about Arena Fan. And I'm going to play the episode and they're going to laugh at my catchphrase, the frat likes that. And it's going to be great.
You missed your cue there, John.
It's a spicy, spicy meatball.
No, no. Oh.
Goodness. No, I'm glad that you're having Ben and I on the show this season, and I appreciate it. And I'm glad to have you as a co-host as well. We're having a lot of fun here informing all the Arena Football fans.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a great season and informing you guys of everything about the Arena Football League. Anything that comes out with a wire, you can be rest assured that we will make sure that we get you the information out there. So enjoy the games this week. We will see you live. If you're there, we will be there in Albany. So enjoy the week. Enjoy opening games. And we'll talk to you next week. So everybody here at AFL Tonight, for John, for Ben, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.